What's up, witches? Hi, I'm Claudia, and welcome to True Crime Coven. Now, I'm alone this week. That's because Jess has had the busiest of weeks. As you all know, we both work full time. Jess also coaches and judges cheer competitions. So she's been really busy with that. She's also got an 18-month-old daughter. She's also studying at uni. I honestly don't know how Jess does it all. But she's been really busy. I believe actually her cheer squad that she coaches came third in nationals. So massive congratulations to them. But yeah, so I am alone this week. So I'm actually going to go back to one that we did record a while ago for the Patreon. And when I say a while ago, I mean just came out to about a year ago. And then obviously it hasn't come out because, as you all know, we hit a bit of a snag in April last year. So I thought, you know what, let's release this episode. It is ghostly, so it fits with the theme of the week. And it's something that works on its own because originally with our Patreon, we were going to do individual episodes. Although we did record this one together. It's somewhere in the ether. So I wrote this last year when I was visiting my mum in Kent, and I'm sort of from Kent originally. I'm from South East London, Kent area, and this is a story I remember being told as a child. And so my mum now lives closer to this area than we did growing up, when I was growing up. So it got me thinking about this story, and I decided to actually look into the history of it. So today we're going to look into Bluebell Hill. And I was told this story growing up because my mum used to love telling me ghost stories, and I think I loved them as well. And it's weird because I was actually quite a scaredy cat child. I didn't like pictures of skulls. I remember one time being, this is going to make me sound really posh. I remember one time my great aunt and uncle had a boat that they shared with my granddad. And I remember they took me and my sister away for a weekend once on the boat. And I remember there was a book in our part of the cabin that had a skull on it. It must have been like a ghost ship book. I don't know why I'm assuming it was a ghost ship book. Obviously, people who own boats, they are only into boats. And I remember making them remove it from the cabin. I remember they tried to just flip it around and hide it. And I was like, no! So I was such a scaredy cat child. And yet my mum used to tell me these ghost stories, and I was fascinated by them, but terrified at the same time. I suppose it's the same way now as an adult. I consume all this true crime, all these ghost stories, and I would actually say I'm pretty desensitized to it now. I'm pretty gutsy with it, but I'm still quite scared of the dark. I still check the back of my car when I go and drive. I still, when I'm driving along, sometimes I'm like, oh no, there's someone behind me. And if my housemate isn't in at night, I still sleep with the hallway light on. So I suppose I'm still doing what I did as a child. So, anyway, if you don't know, Bluebell Hill is a chalk hill that lays between Maidstone and Rochester in this English county of Kent. Visually, it's a beautiful place. It overlooks the winding River Medway, and it's also part of a nature reserve managed by Kent Wildlife Trust. And if you don't know, Kent is actually called the Garden of England. It is quite a beautiful place in many areas. It's to the south of England, and I think when you think of a patchwork quilt, sometimes, you know, when people speak of fields and meadows and hills and countryside looking like a patchwork quilt, areas of Kent really look like that. And it's kind of, it's also part of the, Bluebell Hill is also part of the Kent Downs area of outstanding natural beauty. And so it's kind of hard to think of this beautiful place being so scary, but then I also think it's really easy to imagine these beautiful places in the day. You know, the sun's shining, There's rolling hills, grass, trees, birds singing, bees buzzing around, you know, lovely wildlife. But at night, it actually always becomes quite sinister, or at least it does to me, and maybe that's the townie in me. But to me, that's terrifying, and why I could never live in a house in the middle of nowhere on my own. And there is quite a history to Bluebell Hill. So for starters, on the land, there are two megalithic long barrows, which to me or you are prehistoric above ground burial chambers, and they're built out of large stone slabs laid on edge, and then they're covered with earth or other smaller stones. And the monuments on Bluebell Hill are named Kit's Coty. So they're Kit's Coty House and Little Kit's Coty House. And I hope I'm saying that right, but I'm not sure how else you could pronounce it really. So the origin of the names is widely speculated about, but as we're not a history podcast, I shan't go into it too much, but there is information online for those of a deeper interest, but there is much speculation about it. So Kit's Coty House is thought to date back to around 4000 to 3000 BC, during the early Neolithic period, and constructions like it represent the burial places of the earliest farming communities in Britain. They're used as communal burial sites, with often only part of the human remains being placed inside for interment. At Kit's Coty House, a skeleton of a man was found inside, along with fragments of red pottery. Although today, of course, if you go there, you won't find any of this. And I can't actually tell you what happened to the skeleton. Unfortunately, it might have just been lost to time. But at Little Kit's Coty House, sometimes called the Countless Stones, there are about 20 sarsen stones in a tight cluster. And these represent the remains of a burial mound, which was unfortunately seriously damaged in 1690, before any reliable records about it were made. However, a letter written at the time described the structure as 13 or 14 great stones, seven of which were standing up, covered with one large stone. Therefore, it is likely that Little Kit's Coty House once looked more like Kit's Coty House. Whilst we know of these two burial monuments on Bluebell Hill, which of course add a bit of the paranormal to the place, locals told investigators that many other pits had been found on the hill too, but that the flints were used as a source of stone to build new roads. Now, whilst today the roads around Bluebell Hill are of course made of tarmac, the fact that they were once made using sacred stones from places that would have been of significant importance to the Neolithic people, to me, could definitely cause some negative spiritual energy. Now, if you listen to Real Life Ghost Stories, hosted by Emma. Firstly, if you don't, what are you doing? It's brilliant. Go listen. But if you do, you'll know that she has extensively covered sort of the myths surrounding native burial ground hauntings, and you know, things being made out, things being built on top of them and made out of parts of them. She's, you know, looked into that and debunked it and spoken about how it's not really something that happens. It's a bit of a trope. It's just not something that happens. So when I say that using parts of the stone of this significant spiritual place, I put those two words together then, to build roads has a hint of the Native American lore about it, I mean that in the sense of what everyone sort of knows about the lore, you know. Oh, this house was built on top of a Native American burial ground, you know, the trope in horror. You can kind of imagine that, but if it was real, it, like, being relevant here. You know, these are stones that are used as, you know, they have so much spiritual importance, cultural importance. I went really West Country then. And they were just taken and used as part of a road. And that is extremely disrespectful. And if you were going to get any bad juju from it, you know, if that's a thing, if by disturbing sites like this, that is one way to get bad juju. It is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, I can imagine that could cause quite a stir in paranormal happenings. Now, interestingly, remains of a Roman building have also been found on Bluebell Hill when it was excavated, and within the ruins they found 8 human fibulas, amongst other items such as a bronze key, rings, and pins. So clearly Bluebell Hill has a rich and fascinating history, interspersed with human skeletons for good measure. And you know me, I love a good human skeleton. And also, I've got a note here. Now, I don't remember writing this, but it says, on writing this, I almost wrote, I love a good human bone. But that could be misinterpreted, so I thought I better change my wording. Oh, God. But Bluebell Hill doesn't just have a few skeletons in its soil from way back when. It is also home to a more modern haunting, one that takes us back to 1965. So, on Friday 19th, 1965, a 22-year-old woman named Suzanne Brown was travelling along the road on Bluebell Hill with her two friends, Judith Lingham and Patricia Ferguson, on the way home from her hen night. Suzanne was due to be wed the next day to an RAF technician, Brian Wetton. But instead of spending the 20th of November walking down the aisle towards her love and their future together, Suzanne spent her day being operated on by surgeons battling to save her life. Because as the three young women drove down the road that night, Suzanne's Ford Cortina spun out of control and collided with a Jaguar car on the opposite side of the road. Judith died on scene, with Suzanne and Patricia being taken to Maidstone Hospital, where doctors attempted to save their lives. But sadly, both would pass away days after the fatal collision. This tragic incident has since sparked paranormal goings-on in the area ever since, with unexplained visions and ghostly sightings being reported to this very day. Although interestingly, in an article I read in Kent Online, apparently some sightings predate the crash and are reported back to the 1930s as well. On November 19th, 2015, paranormal teams and spiritual believers gathered outside a nearby pub named the Lower Bell for the 50th anniversary of the crash to see if they could gather evidence of the supernatural. Sonia Roseman, a filmmaker from Rochester who has produced a title drama named The Ghost of Bluebell Hill, stated that some of those gathered picked up voices that sounded as though they were screaming and shouting for help on their devices. She also added that she thinks the whole place is tragic with a bad, eerie feeling, referencing a motorcycle crash that happened just before she began filming her drama as another example of the bad karma that the road and the area seem to attract. Sonia went on to state that many people told her not to make her film as they thought something bad might happen to her. And when she was researching the road prior to the filming, she placed photos up in her kitchen. Just days after doing so, her flat burnt to the ground. But mysteriously, the pictures remained intact. However, Sonia said that this only spurred her on to continue with her project. Now, as I said, I grew up with stories about Kent ghosts as a child, and I distinctly remember my mum telling me about a bride who was killed just prior to her wedding day, being seen on the road, with drivers colliding with the apparition and being so shaken that they stopped to compose themselves in the pub, as well as asking them to call someone to help as they still believe they may have hit someone, only to be told by the pub owners that what they had encountered was no living person. In fact, apparently as I wrote this, my mum was in the other room, and I write here that I was calling out to her about the information I found concerning the burial sites, and she actually reminded me of the story that she would tell me. And I was about 6 years old, apparently. So, yeah, my mum really was telling six-year-old me a ghost story at night time. So, whilst my mum may have gotten some parts wrong, or may have heard an embellished tale, it appears that there's some truth to the story, or at least there are some accounts that are similar, where drivers state that there's a woman who stares into their eyes as she steps out in front of their car, But when the driver stops and gets out to check if she's okay, the woman has vanished and is nowhere to be found. But this is not the only tale of ghostly apparitions. In 1969, just 4 years after that terrible night, a man was driving to Rochester when he said he saw two pedestrians walking towards him. Then, in a second, they just disappeared. On another occasion, the same man saw the pedestrians for a second time crossing the road, when a car drove straight through them without stopping. In 1971, a man named James Skeen said that he was driving home from work one evening when a young woman who looked to be around 20 years old suddenly seemed to just appear in front of his car. James was able to stop and offer the woman a lift to a nearby town. However, as the woman exited his car, he said that she then vanished into thin air. Just a year later, in 1972, Bob Vanderpeer told of a time he stopped to offer a lift to a young girl on the hill, who accepted and climbed into the back of his car, only for Bob to later in the journey turn around to find that his passenger had completely vanished. And in 1974, Maurice Goodenough has reported about an instance when he was driving through Bluebell Hill in the early hours of the morning when suddenly a young girl jumped in front of his car, with Maurice saying, and I quote, "My car hit her with a hell of a bang." Maurice did what any of us would do and jumped out of his car to go see the girl who was lying in the road, her forehead cut and grazes to both of her knees. Now, with this being in 1974, there were of course no mobile phones, so Maurice wisely decided it best not to move the woman into his car, but instead covered her with a blanket whilst he went to get help from the nearest police station. Maurice and an officer then returned to the scene of the accident to find nothing but the blanket that Maurice had placed upon the young girl. Thinking she had gotten up and wandered off of her own accord, but knowing she may be seriously injured, after all she had a possible head injury, a search was called in the nearby area, but the girl was never found. As dawn broke, they resumed the search, hoping that daylight would help aid their efforts along with the tracker dogs they had brought in. However, no scent or tracks could be found. Interestingly, neither could any blood, but this also wouldn't be unusual if perhaps the girl wasn't bleeding heavily from her injuries. Still worried about the girl's welfare, local hospitals were checked for anyone presenting who matched the girl's description, and even a newspaper appeal was put out for a missing child. But no one was found to have attended emergency departments nearby, and no one came forward who recognised the young girl. Maurice was even interviewed by News of the World, where he seemed shaken as he told the interviewer, "I'm not going mad, but where did she vanish? I'm still shaken from the experience." Newspapers in the area jumped to the conclusion that the girl must have been a ghost, as they knew of the previous sightings in the area and also noticed that Maurice's car showed no signs of damage. To my knowledge, no one has ever been able to confirm that Maurice did in fact hit a pedestrian that night, causing others to side with journalists that this was likely another case of a literal run-in of the Bell Hill ghost. Next, a coach driver named Ian Sharp was on his way to Maidstone via Bluebell Hill one Sunday night in November when a young woman stepped in front of his car, locking eyes with him before she appeared to go right under the wheels of his vehicle. Ian assumed the worst. He assumed he had killed her. He was scared to look under his car but knew that he must. And so, shakily, he knelt down on the tarmac and peered under the frame, only to see nothing. No sign of the woman, no blood, nothing at all. And there was no one near the vehicle, not to the side, not at the side of the road, not in the distance. But still, Ian was sure that he had hit someone, and so he too, just like Maurice, made his way to the local police station. The police sighed as he told them his tale, one they had no doubt heard countless times before, and when he was finished, they told him of the area and the legends, explaining that he was not the first person to report such an incident. But still, police knew that they had to be sure. They couldn't just brush this off in case it was real. And so they followed Ian back to the scene, and once again, a search of the area found nothing. Later, that same month, another two motorists called to the police station on separate occasions, telling them that they had hit a young woman wearing a red scarf. Once again, the area was searched, and once again, no one was found injured or killed nearby. There are other stories of motorists having the same or very similar experiences on Bluebell Hill, but I would be here all night if I was to tell you each and every one. Now, I myself have driven on that road both during the day and late at night, and I am very thankful to say that I have never experienced anything. And as I say that, I feel like I'm jinxing myself because I'm actually going to be in Kent later this week, and I might even drive down that road, and yeah, if I now experience something, I'm going to be kicking myself, and I will really only have myself to blame, let's be honest. but hey, I guess it's another story for you all. So, whilst I'll say that I did know a bit about the ghostly goings-on at Bluebell Hill, I had no idea about the rich history of the area, and I suppose, like I said, if there was a place to have bad karma, as the filmmaker Sonia said earlier in the episode, it would make sense for it to be in an area where ritual and burial stones were used to construct roads. And apparently, so I used to have a friend who was actually an archaeologist, and they told me that stuff like this actually occurs quite often, more than we might think, with culturally and spiritually significant stones being used to make roads. So, yeah, I guess your road could be made out of, or could have once been made out of burial stones, which is slightly eerie to think about. And best not to. But if you've ever heard of Bluebell Hill or ever had any experiences, do let us know. It is just a long stretch of road. And the thing is, with all these goings on, with a long stretch of road like that, where I believe it is national speed limit, or it's indeed higher than 30, unfortunately you are more likely to have crashes. You know, like the motorist having a crash just days before Sonia started filming. I would say that's not a huge even coincidence. Well, it is a coincidence, but I mean, it's unfortunately on a road like that, you know, it's a wide road, but it's winding in places and it's heavily used. Statistically, you're just more likely to have crashes, and also people driving on roads like that, you know, often they might have been driving for a long time. Therefore they might be tired and more likely to see things that aren't there. Also in the same vein, I think sometimes when you drive down the same road again and again because you're commuting, you're not, you know, you're kind of in automatic mode sometimes. I know that I can be. That's why they say you're more likely to have accidents when you're close to home, because you're used to the roads, you're not paying perhaps as much attention as you should or would normally. And perhaps that leaves you more open to suggestions of seeing things because your mind is perhaps not concentrating as much on what's going on. Or maybe there really is a ghost. Maybe there really are ghosts. Maybe, yes, all this is true and crashes are more likely to happen, but unfortunately, some people never pass on. So yeah, let me know if you've ever had an experience in Bluebell Hill, or you know someone that has, and in general, just please send us your ghost stories. We're always on the lookout for more. Like we say, nothing's too short or too small or too, you know, little of a occurrence. We like happy ghost stories. They don't have to be scary. Sometimes it's nice to have a heartwarming ghost story. Sorry that Jess isn't here this week, but she will be back next week, as far as I know. And so, all that's left to say is stay safe and stay spooky. Hey guys, if you have a ghost story or a case suggestion, please email us truecrimecovenpod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @truecrimecoven or on Instagram and Facebook, where we are @truecrimecovenpod.
Also, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could rate us wherever you're listening to this right now, be it Spotify, Apple Music, or if you're on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, click that bell, get notifications every time we post.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from.
make these two witches smile.
Thanks, witches.
Sorry, Simon.